Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called Growing in the Seasons of Life. In these teachings, Pastor Rick shows you how to make the most of the seasons of life, no matter which one you're in. In just a little while, we're going to tell you about a one-of-a-kind resource that will help you draw closer to Jesus. It's called the Journey with Jesus Deluxe Gift Book. Find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called The Season of Loss.
Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens. New Century Version says, by helping each other with your troubles, you obey the law of Christ. Now again, this goes against our nature because it is human tendency when we're hurt, when we've had a loss, when we've gone through a difficult time, what we want to do is pull back in. We want to draw into a shell. We want to build a wall around us. We want to pull everything back in and say, I don't want to be around people right now. I'm hurting too much. And that is exactly the opposite of what you need. It's the exact opposite. Because when you're going through a season of loss, you need not only the support of other people, but you also need the perspective of other people. Because when you're in a season of loss, you don't see the whole picture. Your pain narrows your focus, and you need other people who can help you see the big picture. We need each other dramatically in the season of loss. So I release my grief, and then I go ahead and I say, okay, it's time to let other people minister to me. Let them help. Let them comfort. Let them offer suggestions. Let them sit with you. Let them grieve with you. And don't be embarrassed about it. That, by the way, is the reason one of the reasons God created the church. We are a family, and we are to care for each other. And that's why, as your pastor, I'm telling you all the time a little preventive advice. And I'm saying, get involved in a small group now, before the crisis. Join the church and get to know some people now. Take one-on-one class and get involved. Get in a ministry and get involved so you know some people now, so that those relational bridges will be in place before the inevitable time of loss comes, because it's coming. And I say this to you out of love, out of care and concern for you. Notice what the Bible says. Hebrews 12, look after each other so that not one of you will fail to find God's best blessings. He says, look after each other. In other words, to make it through the season of loss, we not only need God's promises, but we need God's people to help us. Number three, when you go through the seasons of loss, you release your grief, you receive from others, and number three, refuse to be bitter. Refuse to be bitter. In Job 21, verse 25, and of course Job, of all people, had a reason to be bitter, says, some people have no happiness at all. They live and die with bitter hearts. Now I want you to notice the contrast here. They live and die with bitter hearts. You're going to have to decide in your life whether you want to be bitter or whether you want to be happy, because you cannot be both. You can't. When bitterness is in your heart, happiness walks out the back door. And until you kick bitterness out, there will be no happiness. But when you invite happiness to come back in the front door, bitterness walks out the back door. They both can't live in the same house. And in every situation, you've got to decide, am I going to be bitter or happy? It's a choice. Am I going to be bitter or better? You see, it is an attitude that you have to choose to be a part of. Now listen, if you don't get anything else I say today, get this. There is absolutely no correlation between your happiness and your circumstances. No correlation between your happiness and your circumstances. I have seen people who were in the most abject, terribly situations of happiness, of depression. You know, raised in a ghetto, no mom, no dad, abject poverty, racial prejudice, strikes against them, on and on and on. And yet seeing those folks maintain an incredibly positive attitude of, I'm going to do something with my life. I'm going to make my life count. And they go on to succeed and to be fulfilled and find meaning and purpose in life. And yet, on the other hand, I have talked with some people who honestly have had almost nothing major ever go wrong in their life. And yet they constantly whine. Okay? I mean, every morning they rise and whine. You want to say, you want a little cheese with your whine? Now, I've been in ministry 25 years, and if you were a whiner, you really don't want to get close to me. Because I have about that much patience for whiners. Because I've seen, for instance, situations where two people in the exact situation face the exact same crisis and problem, and one comes out going, we can make it, with God's help, we'll do it, okay, let's get going. And the other is going, this stinks, it's terrible, life's over. Let me tell you what, you are as happy as you choose to be. You are as happy as you choose to be, because happiness is a choice. And you can learn to be happy in basically any situation. But you've got to refuse to be bitter. I remember a while back I was sitting in my big Lazy Boy comforter chair, channel surfing. Do you ever do that? And I came up on one channel, and it was a preacher who had cerebral palsy. You could barely understand the guy. His speech was so slurred. And he told about how he had lost his mom and dad at a young age. And because he had cerebral palsy, nobody wanted to adopt him out of the orphanage. And one hurt after another. And yet he was the most positive person I had ever seen in a long time. And I was fascinated by this guy's attitude, his enthusiasm, his joy. It just kind of overflowed. And then I remember him saying, he said, you know, I live by the 11th commandment. Thou shalt not bellyache. I thought, boy, that's a good one. Some of you need to write that one down and put it on your refrigerator door. Thou shalt not bellyache. Listen, most of the world would love to have your problems. Really, seriously, most of the world would love to have your problems. You say, Rick, you don't know my house bill. I know millions of people who'd love to have a house bill. And we're worried about, are my kids going to get C's or B's or A's this year in school? While many people around the world are wondering, are my children going to last another week because we haven't eaten in 10 days? It's like the old phrase, I complained I had no shoes until I met a man who had no legs. It's all a matter of perspective. And bitterness causes you to get so self-centered, you forget how much good there really is in the world. Bitterness never changes anything. It only makes you more miserable. Notice this next verse, Hebrews 12:15. Watch out that no bitterness takes root among you. It causes deep trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives. That's the second part of that verse. He says, when you allow bitterness to build up in your life because of the season of loss, you're only hurting yourself. You're going to be hurt by other people, intentionally, unintentionally in life. You have been hurt, and you know what? You will be hurt some more in the rest of your life. But the bitterness that you allowed to build up will never hurt anybody else. It just hurts you. And it makes you miserable. We love to blame other people for our unhappiness. We love to blame other people for our problems. I remember a few years ago, Tom and Shondell's little boy, Luke, the youngest, Tom was playing a game with him, and he said, Luke, who made the stars? And Luke, of course, knew, but he said, Luke did. He said, no, God made the stars. He said, Luke, who made the trees? And Luke said, Luke did. He said, Luke, who made the moon? And he said, well, you know, Luke did. He went on and on like this. The next morning, Tom got up, walked in. Luke was eating breakfast, and he had spilled his milk all over the table. And Tom goes, Luke, who spilled the milk? He said, God did. Isn't that typical? I mean, that is human nature in its most blatant form. If anything good happens in my life, thank you, thank you, thank you. I did it all myself. Thank you very much. You know, I am to be responsible for all these great things in my life. And if anything bad happens to me, oh, it's all God's fault. You know, we blame it on God. Have you ever noticed in an insurance policy what are considered to be acts of God? The list: hurricanes, floods, earthquakes, disasters. That's what the world thinks are acts of God. Let me tell you what an act of God is. When a baby's been born. You ever held a brand new baby right after it's been born? That's a miracle. When a marriage has been put back together where you thought there's no way this can ever come back together. We're at opposite ends of the poles. When a hurt has been healed, when a body's been restored, when somebody who's been addicted to some substance has been set free, that's an act of God.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. Now, if you'd like to connect with Pastor Rick online, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. You can also sign up for his free daily email devotional. That's PastorRick.com.
As Jesus made his way to Calvary, on the road called the Via Dolorosa, which translates to the way of suffering, there were 15 stops he made along the way, which hold tremendous significance for every Christian. Since many of us may not be able to travel to Jerusalem to visit this place, Pastor Rick Warren has created a beautifully illustrated book called Journey with Jesus that will give you a way to celebrate, reflect, and pray about what Jesus did for you on the cross. This book is stunning. It has a soft vegan leather cover and is filled with beautiful glossy photographs and colored mosaics that depict the sacrificial journey Jesus made to save us from our sins. The narrative will give you deep biblical insight into the most important event in human history. This powerful resource makes a meaningful gift. It is only available through Daily Hope, and we'll send it to you when you support this ministry with a financial gift. Quantities are limited, so don't wait. By the way, for the next 7 days, anything you donate to this ministry will be doubled by a very generous Daily Hope listener, up to $25,000. So please contact us today to let us know how you would like to help. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004, or visit PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle.
Once again, here's Rick.
When a hurt has been healed, when a body's been restored, when somebody who's been addicted to some substance has been set free, that's an act of God. Refuse to be bitter in the losses of life. How do you do that? How do you keep from becoming bitter? Two things. Would you write this down? Number one, accept what cannot be changed. Accept what cannot be changed. As Job says in Job 11, reach out to God, then face the world again, firm and courageous. Reach out to God, face the world again, firm and courageous. Now, many of you do not really understand what faith is. A lot of people think faith means ignoring reality and pretending like something really isn't that bad. For instance, if somebody in your family gets cancer, you say, oh, no, he doesn't have cancer. That's not faith. That's just pretending. If you get laid off and your income is no more and you have no hope or no promise of where you're going to get your money next week, and you go, well, I know that everything's okay. No, that's not faith. If you say, you know, you come down with some sickness and you say, well, I'm not sick. That's not faith. That's just stupidity. Faith is not denying reality. I want you to write this down. Faith is refusing to be discouraged in the face of reality. It's not pretending you don't have a problem. It's refusing to be discouraged in spite of the problem. That's what real faith is. Now, as you grow in your Christian life, and as you grow in emotional maturity, one of the marks of emotional maturity is you begin to realize that most of life is beyond your control. Have you figured this out yet? Huh? Yeah. In fact, let me say it this way. The most important things in your life are beyond your control. Every Christian parent wants their kids to come to know Jesus Christ, grow up, and live a godly life. And you can do all you want to, but you can't control that. Because they have a free will just like you do. The most important things in life are beyond your control. And sometimes, the only way you can manage an unmanageable situation is through acceptance of it. Acceptance is the first step to peace. And when you've lost a loved one and you've walked away from a fresh grave, all the wishing and hoping and praying isn't going to bring that person back. The only way to peace is acceptance. Like the old prayer, Lord, help me to accept the things that can't be changed, to change the things that can be changed, and the wisdom to know the difference. The serenity prayer. So accept what can't be changed. Number two, instead of being bitter, look at what's left rather than what's lost. Look at what you have left rather than what you've lost. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, no matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you. You say, be thankful for the problem? No. Be thankful for what you have left. And be thankful that God is still with you. And be thankful that God can bring good even out of the bad. That's what you'd be thankful for. You see, your past is past and nothing is going to change it. Not worrying about it, not resenting it, not being bitter about it, rehearsing it over and over. You need to choose to focus on God's goodness. Now, if the truth were known, a lot of you walked in here today depressed. Why? Well, with this many people, just the law of averages. Many of you came in depressed, and you're discouraged about a problem and a situation in your life. And I want to tell you that the antidote to depression, are you listening? Is gratitude. It's gratitude. Go home and make a list of 100 things you can be thankful for. Look at what's left, not what's lost. Are you still alive? Put that one at number one. Are you a Christian? You have Jesus in your heart? Put that at number two and start making a list and come up with 100 things you can still be grateful for. And you will watch the clouds of depression begin to rise and to vanish. Gratitude is one of the antidotes to depression. Because just like we said before, you can't be grateful and depressed at the same time. It's what you focus on. Number four. In the season of life where I have the losses, I released my grief, I received from others, I refused to be bitter. Number four, I need to remember what's important. In the season of loss. You see, losses and tragedies have a way of putting everything into perspective. They clarify your values. They help you figure out some priorities and put everything into perspective. You realize what matters most. Luke 12:15, Jesus said, life is not measured by how much one owns. What is he saying here? Don't confuse your net worth with your self-worth. They're totally unrelated. Don't confuse your possessions with your position in Christ and your purpose. Don't confuse what you're living on with what you're living for. This is a big difference. And in the season of loss, you need to clarify your values. You need to really remember what's important, what's going to last. And when you go through the season, you begin to realize that the greatest things in life aren't things. They aren't things. That what really matters is relationships. People matter, not things. So don't lose your joy over things that aren't unimportant. Look at 1 Timothy 6:7. He says that we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. Now, I know that's true. I mean, as I've said many times, you know, you've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. You're not going to take it with you. I do remember one time that there was a rich Texas oilman who was buried in his Cadillac. And as they were putting him under, I remember the guy who was burying him goes, "Man, that's living." I thought, no, that's not living. The guy's dead. For real security, what I'm saying here is you have to build your life on something that can't be taken from you. Can a job be taken from you? Yes, as I said, anybody want to give a testimony? Let me tell you something. There is no such thing as job security. I don't care if you're the CEO of one of the top corporations. They get kicked out too, don't they? There is no such thing as job security. But if you lose a job, God can turn off one faucet and turn on another just as easy. Can you lose your health? Yes. Can you lose the person you're married to? Yes. Can you lose your youthful beauty? I mean, I'm fighting the middle-aged bees, baldness, bifocals, and bulges.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you missed anything or would like to find out more about this ministry, just go to PastorRick.com. Here's Rick to tell you about a very special gift edition book called Journey with Jesus.
Every year, Christians from all over the world remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ by traveling to Jerusalem, where they walk the path that Jesus took on the way to the cross. That path is called the Via Dolorosa, which literally means the way of suffering. I want to suggest a way for you to celebrate and reflect on and pray about what Jesus did for you on the cross. So I've created a brand new one-of-a-kind resource that will take you through the 15 stops that the Bible tells us Jesus took on the road to Calvary and his death on the cross. Now, we're calling this resource Journey with Jesus. Journey with Jesus is a deluxe hardcover gift edition book that's illustrated with really beautiful photos, high-quality glossy photos of mosaic tile artwork that reflect each of the stops that Jesus made on his journey to the cross. You're not ever going to forget this gift. It's a great gift book to keep and to study over and over again, and it'd make a great gift for your family and your friends, too. This gift book is available when you donate to Daily Hope this month.
We'll send you Journey with Jesus as our way of saying thanks when you support this ministry with a financial gift. You want to get extra copies to give as gifts to your friends and family members. This one-of-a-kind resource is only available through Daily Hope. Quantities are limited, so be sure to get yours today. By the way, for the next 7 days, anything you donate to this ministry will be doubled by a very generous Daily Hope listener, up to $25,000. So please contact us today, and thank you so much for your generosity. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004, or just visit PastorRick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.